From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 7th day of December 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Chuck Shelby at Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana. And a bit later in the program, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons Climbers facility there in Delphi, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, France and Germany have meddled up and plan not to leave the negotiating table until a solution to the EU debt crisis is hammered out. And a few Chicago grain traders managed to close out their MF Global positions yesterday. The money earned from that process, by the way, is to be returned to the trustee overseeing the assets of the company as it goes through bankruptcy. Dave Dickey will be along in a moment with these and many more ag news stories. And then I'll tell you how next year's corn and soybean crop will probably be worth less per bushel than this year's, and how the change in the price will impact farmer income. And then, as we close out our program, we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City right here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In Chicago at the CME Group on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the nearby contract and the soft red winter wheat lower for the day. It finished the December 15 and three quarters at $5.83. March futures at $6.50, down 12.5, and July wheat at $6.37.25. A dime lower. Kansas City hard red for the July new crop, 14 and three quarter cents lower at $6.78. December corn, $5.82.25, down 3 cents. The March at $5.92.75, 3 3/4. The May futures at $6.01.25, down 3.5 cents. And July at $6.06.75, down 4. December futures, $5.51, a nickel lower on the day. January soybeans, a penny and a half higher at $11.31 a bushel. The March at $11.41, up 1.5. And May futures in the bean pit at $11.51.25, up 1.5. July contract, $11.61, up 1.25. November beans at $11.56, up a penny and a half for the day. December bean meal at $2.83.70, $1.50 higher. December bean oil at $50.24, up 26 cents on the afternoon. Live cattle futures finished the February at 119.77.5, up 22.5. April there at 123.67.5, up 22.5. January feeders up 60 cents at 142.72.5. The March at 145.17.5, up 47.5. And the lean hogs finished the February at $88.80, down 27.5 cents. This is the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. January crude oil at $100.27 a barrel, $1.02 lower. Ethanol at $2.12.5, that's down 5.6 cents. Natural gas at $3.42.4, down 6.3. Heating oil or diesel fuel 4.1 cents lower, $2.98 even. Gold futures for the day up $13 at $1,740.90 an ounce. The Dow now at 12,135, just about 15 points lower. The dollar at 78.48 is down 0.02. The CRB index at 310.07, down 3.45 for the afternoon. The weather forecast for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon says mostly sunny skies from the National Weather Service with a high of just 36 degrees, a west wind at 8 to 11 miles an hour this afternoon. Mostly clear today, or tonight, a low of 23. West-northwest winds between 7 and 10. And then on Thursday, increasing clouds, a high near 37. West-northwest winds between 3 and 7. Thursday night, a 40% chance of snow. It'll be a cloudy with a low of 26. North-northwest winds at 3 to 8. And Friday, a 30% chance of snow before noon. Partly sunny, a high near 29 degrees. Friday night, mostly clear, and a low of 16. That's right, a low of 16 in the area on Friday night. Saturday, sunny with a high near 30 degrees. Saturday night, mostly clear, a low of 22. Sunny and 40 on Sunday. Sunday night, mostly clear, and a low of 25. A more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Drew Lerner.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Wednesday afternoon. On the phone line with us today, Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities in West Lafayette, Indiana. Paul Cooley is out of the office. Thanks for taking the time with us, Chuck. We appreciate you making time for us this afternoon. Can you take us through the day's trade, please?
Well, it was kind of a mixed day, Todd. We saw the market in corn have a fairly good start, and then we retreated during the day and tested out some of those low areas and held the support and bounced back at the end of the day. A little bit encouraging there, but the market just can't seem to get a good solid direction. On the bean side of the equation, when you look at beans, the South American dry weather forecast continues to be supportive. If that would continue, you got a reason really in the bean market to get some excitement going. And the wheat market was the weak one out there, especially in the December contract with the deliveries in Chicago. So overall, not a bad performance, but the market is certainly searching for some good answers to get something good to the upside going.
Yeah, it's searching for answers. Are you satisfied that corn's building a base at this level, or is there a potential to break lower?
Well, it's held so far. I mean, I think the concern comes back around Thursday night, while we're sleeping, the euro situation is going to be addressed. We've also got the USDA report. Most folks looking at a little bigger carryouts with probably a slip in demand. So we do have some news coming. I think those two factors could be reasons to say either we stabilize here and we have reasons to go up, or if we get two negatives there, it might be a reason to break out to the downside.
What would be negative enough on the WASD numbers to push things lower? Most are expecting that that number will show a change with less demand. What would be enough to say, well, this is more than we expected?
I think you got to look at that the exports are really slashed, and that the USDA sees a trend of a continuation of declining export business. I don't know if they'll go that far. You know, I think they might take a more cautious approach, but bigger numbers as far as more corn left over is a negative, especially with what's going on in Europe.
Mm-hmm. And your thoughts on Europe, can you see a way through that process? Will they manage something on Thursday evening?
Well, the size of the problem, and it's just the time. It's kind of like having the flu and getting over the flu, Todd. It takes a lot longer than any of us would like. I think, you know, there is an effort over there to, you know, get issues solved. Certainly your countries that do have money, like Germany, are going to have to be your leaders. They're basically, I think, in control. So, you know, it's good that they're talking in the process. Hopefully they'll give us some answers that satisfy the market. But as we've seen in past history with them, sometimes it's a bad result. And so that's the unknown. I think that's why the market, we look at it come Friday or next Monday, makes a decision whether we hold corn here or whether we give it up and go down another 25, 30 cents.
It's a bit easier, I suspect, to talk to producers about making new crop corn and soybean sales and old crop corn and soybean sales at this time. Do you think that that should be done with the December and November of next year?
Well, we've started a process here of using some put strategies. I think, you know, being defensive here is not a bad way to go. Get started anyway. Remain flexible on your cash bushels. I know a lot of producers are looking at their input cost. I know a lot of producers, again, are having to sign up on their rents. So I think at this juncture, we prefer to use a strategy of buying some puts and selling some puts. Create that floor underneath there. Hope we don't need it. And look forward to the new year. There's a lot of things that are going to come around, the crop insurance value. Acres, all those things, Todd. Hopefully we'll get some resolve and get some positive things going in 2012.
I'm going to step outside of the comfort zone here just a bit with commodities and maybe deal with some tax issues if you could. Producers are dealing with a very good income year for 2011, most likely, some of them. There will be others who had a really tough year based on how much yield they had, but there will be many that had really pretty good income years. What are the kinds of tax implications that they are dealing with and that they should, and what kinds of things do you think maybe they ought to be looking into before the end of the calendar year?
Well, I think that's one thing that maybe has held some producers back from selling more grain at this point in time. But when you look at the ag sector in general, as you said, it's very positive. I think producers have the ability. It's one of the industries in the world where, you know, if you're going to know you're going to need inputs for next year, you can get some, you know, better pricing opportunities by buying now to kind of counterbalance your taxes. Certainly the machinery dealerships are doing quite well, Todd. There's a lot of machinery being purchased, maybe catch-up purchases. So each producer needs to sit down, look how much he had coming in, and try to balance that out the best they can. Certainly this year, you know, with the high prices we've had, it's going to make one of the bigger incomes. Maybe next year we still have good prices, but not as high as we had in 2011. So there's some big numbers out there, and it certainly is worthwhile the time to sit down and try to analyze that and see where we are as far as our tax consequences.
Walk me through the livestock sector, cattle market for me, please.
Well, when you look at the, we had a earlier, you know, in the week we had a big fund sell-off day. Typically, this isn't the best time of the year for, you know, beef to be moved. It's coming into the holiday season, but I think fundamentally we're so tight on supply that we look for the cattle market to find some support in here, not go down as traditionally as far as it might during the Christmas season. And we do look as we move into 2012 that the tight numbers are going to cause some serious opportunity to see the beef market move higher as we move into 2012 and especially into the spring.
Chuck, thanks so much for taking the time with us today.
Thank you, Todd. Enjoyed being here.
Mm-hmm. Chuck Shelby is with Risk Management Commodities in West Lafayette, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
If you'd like to hear what Chuck had to say again, you can always do that off our website at willag.org. Don't forget that Friday we will have a USDA report released at 7:30 a.m. on the morning of. If you'd like to go to our website at willag.org and hit the right-hand side of the page and subscribe to our weekend newsletter, you can also give us your cell phone number, and on Friday morning, if you do that in the next 24 hours or so, we'll make sure that you get on your phone a text message with the numbers as they're released from the United States Department of Agriculture. You can always see those numbers on our website, too, under the USDA link. Just scroll about halfway down the page. You'll find Commodity Week there as well. This week, our guest is Sterling Liddell. He's from Rabo Agro Finance. Hey, Dave Dickey is here now. He'll take us through the agricultural news for the afternoon.
In agricultural news, the leaders of France and Germany today say that they will not leave this week's EU summit until a powerful deal is reached on the Eurozone debt crisis, while U.S. Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner urged bold steps. Geithner, on a whistle tour stop of Europe to demand dramatic action, voiced confidence in a Franco-German plan to overhaul the EU treaty after Standard & Poor's warned it could cut credit ratings across the currency bloc. French President Nicolas Sarkozy and German Chancellor Angela Merkel will lay out their plan at Friday's EU summit to impose mandatory penalties on euro states that exceed deficit targets, with the aim of restoring market trust and preventing the region's deepening debt crisis spiraling out of control. There was some relief yesterday for a small group of Chicago grain traders caught in the fallout of MF Global's collapse, as they were able to close out positions more than a month after the broker's bankruptcy. The exchange, the CME Group, yesterday said it is working with other traders so more deliveries can be made. Documents of grain ownership that these traders had used as collateral with the company were released on Friday, allowing them to deliver soy oil against the December contract at the Chicago Board of Trade, which expires on December 14th. The traders said that a condition attached to the release of their documents was that the money they raised from the delivery process should be returned to the trustee overseeing the liquidation of MF Global assets. Members of the House Natural Resources Committee expressed concern yesterday that a lawsuit aimed at pesticides could lead to many ag chemicals being taken off the market, thus limiting food production and threatening food safety. The lawsuit, filed in January by the Center for Biological Diversity and other environmental groups, was among the topics covered at a hearing on the Endangered Species Act. The suit alleges that the Environmental Protection Agency violated the Endangered Species Act by not consulting federal wildlife officials about the potential effects that some 300 registered pesticides and other ag chemicals would have on about 200 species before approving the use of those chemicals. Monsanto raised its outlook for first quarter earnings today, helped by its seed business in Brazil and Argentina. The agribusiness giant expects first quarter earnings per share in the range of 15 to 20 cents, up from the previous forecast of the high end of the 10 to 15 cent range. The company also said first quarter results were helped by a change in cotton pricing in Australia, which accelerated sales from fourth quarter to first quarter. Monsanto will report its first quarter results on January 5th. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report, Commodity Week, and next week's Illinois Farm Economic Summits. Those kick off on Monday right here at the iHotel in Urbana-Champaign, and then we'll move north to DeKalb and the Galesburg on Wednesday. DeKalb's on Tuesday. On Thursday, we'll be in Mount Vernon in the southern part of the state, and then back to Bloomington on Friday. If you haven't registered yet, you can still walk in. You can find all the details on the FarmDoc website at farmdoc.illinois.edu. Daryl Good will be there, along with Gary Schnitke and Scott Irwin. Mr. Paulson will take up policy. We'll hear a little bit about crop insurance, and the folks at NASS will be along, too. It's a great program. Your banker probably will be in the audience. You should, too. $65 to walk in. Again, we kick off Monday right here at the iHotel in Urbana-Champaign, just south of the Assembly Hall. Details at the farmdoc.illinois.edu website. Now, up next, it sure looks like next year's corn and soybean crop will be worth less per bushel than this year. I'll have more on how the change in price will impact farmer income. The prices in Chicago had dropped by about $1 a bushel for corn and $2 for soybeans at the time of this report. The projected cash prices for next fall had done much the same. Well, University of Illinois Extension Farm Management Specialist Gary Schnitke has followed the drop and done the income per acre calculations on the new lower figures.
Yeah, obviously, if you lower the price $1 for corn and $2 for soybeans, you do lower returns. If you look at a 50-50 corn and soybean rotation, that dollar reduction would lower total or returns per acre by $145 per acre. So that's a very significant amount. Just that dollar change in corn, $2 change in soybeans.
Schnitke's cash price calculations are based on $5 corn and $11 soybeans. On a low productivity farm, he says it represents a 25% drop in per acre income. The drop in price also changes the incentives farmers see in the marketplace to plant one crop over another, says Schnitke.
Actually, the changes have favored more soybean production, and by that we mean that the difference in corn and soybean returns have narrowed. If we used that $7 corn price, $13 soybean price, we were looking at 169 difference between corn and soybean profits. Now at a $5 price and $11 soybean price, we're looking at a $95 difference. So that, you know, takes off some of the incentive to plant more corn.
You can read more from Gary Schnitke on the FarmDoc Daily website. Generally, he posts agronomic information about once a week. The site itself is updated almost every day with a new post from one of the University of Illinois ag economists on everything from legal and political issues to commodity marketing. Again, the site's called FarmDoc Daily. It is all one word at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com. Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 95 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Wednesday afternoon. Ben Stoller from the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana, is on the phone line to take up the cash grain market. Good afternoon to you, Ben.
Good afternoon.
Not many trucks or a whole bunch of trucks coming into your facility today?
Oh, we're actually getting hit pretty hard. Quite a large line today. Seen a lot of corn movement here in the past week.
Oh, why is that?
Well, basis has been pretty strong here. We're paying 15 over the March, so we're definitely encouraging producers to get corn moved here.
And are they delivering bushels that have been pre-sold, or are these new sales for you?
We're seeing a lot of producers go ahead and just set basis on their hedge-to-arrive contracts.
So they're looking forward but not pricing anything out then, right?
That's correct. So they had bushels contract and just go ahead and set basis when it's strong, but still hoping for futures to go higher for unpriced bushels they have in the bin.
There's always hope, isn't there?
That is right.
In the office, do the folks that you talk to there in the office think that they're making a good decision, or will prices tumble a bit as we move through the coming months?
Well, we're certainly encouraging producers to be pretty aggressive with unpriced bushels. Prices are still good at these levels and still see a strong return, so just encouraging them to be careful, not gamble too much.
Now, part of the reason that you have an over that's 15 cents up is because you have an ethanol plant and you're still making a few extra cents on the credit as we head into January. Do you think there'll be much of a change once we get to January 1?
In terms of our basis?
Yes.
Well, we're certainly posted a little bit weaker after the first of the year. We're posted a 12 over basis. I think that's certainly because we just expect corn to move. It naturally does move there in Jan, Feb, March.
All right, and then tell me about soybean basis in the area, please.
Soybean basis really over the course of the fall has really strengthened. We saw early fall basis in the 40 to 50 under. At Delphi, we're 16 under, seeing some of the processors around being even option price the Jan.
And what are your bids on the day?
Cash corn into Climbers, 608. Cash beans into Delphi, 1115.
All right. Thanks so much, Ben.
Thank you.
Ben Stoller is with the Anderson's Climbers facility there in Delphi, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
On Friday morning, the United States Department of Agriculture will release its December reports. If you'd like to see them, you can always visit our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. Once you're there, you can sign up to have those numbers delivered to you by your text messaging on the cell phone. You can do that on the right-hand side of the page. If you've already subscribed to our newsletter, just hit manage and you can add your cell phone. If you have not subscribed to our weekend newsletter, hit subscribe and give us the cell phone number that you'd like the text message to go to. If you just want to try it out, don't worry about it too much. You can do that. Come back and just unsubscribe after the fact. It's all simple and easy, and we never give your information away. We'll say goodbye to some of our radio stations now for the rest of you. I'll be back in 2 minutes with Drew Lerner to look at the agricultural weather forecast.
It's National Cotton Candy Day. Cotton candy was brought to the masses by William Morrison and John Wharton. They introduced it at the St. Louis World Fair in 1904 as Fairy Floss. Fairgoers snatched up the treat, paying 25 cents, half the price of admission to the fair for a single box. The pair patented the first electric machine for spinning sugar in 1897. It's also Feast of St. Ambrose of Milan, patron of beekeepers. On this day in agricultural history in 1863, Richard Warren Sears was born. He developed his mail-order jewelry business into Sears, Roebuck & Company. By 1894, the Sears catalog was 507 pages long. In 1879, Charles Broly was born, a Canadian naturalist. His investigations were among the first to implicate DDT as an environmental threat. In 1909, Leo Baekeland was issued a patent for Bakelite, the first plastic that did not soften when heated. The patent is generally remembered as the heat and pressure patent, and it largely gave birth to the modern plastics industry. Bakelite has been used in everything from engine parts to jewelry to electronics. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner from World Weather Incorporated is on the phone line to take up the agricultural weather forecast. Drew, thanks so much for taking the time with us today. Look ahead over the next couple of weeks. What do you see for us here in the Midwest first, please?
Well, I think the most important thing, first of all, is that we're going to take a little break from all this blasted rain we've seen in the last week or so. It's just gotten crazy in the last few weeks with all the great amounts. We had, just in the last 7 days, we had over 6 inches occurring from parts of the Northern Delta into the lowermost parts of the Ohio River Valley. And, of course, many other areas getting 2 to 4 inches and a lot of standing water and whatnot. Well, the news is that we are done with the bigger rain events for a one-week period. Whoop-de-doo, right, when the temperatures are cool like this, we're not going to do a whole lot of drying, but we will at least get some of the excess moisture out of the way in the lower parts of the region. But we do have another storm system that's being played with by the models right now for about a week from now. Sometime in the middle to latter part of next week, we'll probably encounter another storm system of size. But I think it would be dangerous for me to try to pinpoint where it's going to be exactly. But we do know that there will be another round of precipitation of significance beginning about that time. So enjoy the coming week. We will see temperatures turning colder again as another round of cooler air drops through the region for a little while later this week and into the weekend. But it's not going to be potent cold, not for the majority of us in the heart of the Midwest, but northwestern parts of the Corn Belt will certainly see a bit of a chill with temperatures well below zero in some of the Dakotas and parts of Minnesota. But I think for the most part, we'll turn right around and start warming up ahead of that next storm. So by this time next week, it'll be fairly warm across the region again, and then we'll hold on to our seats and see what Mother Nature has to give to us a little later in the week.
Can I have your turn your attention back just a bit to the fall and the Chinese corn crop? It continues to inch up, actually leap up in size by estimates. Was the growing season good enough in China to make that happen, do you think?
I think it was a very good year in China. There was a general lack of extremes throughout most of the key production areas. We started off a little herky-jerky in the spring, but things were pretty good during the course of the summer, and I think there is some support for a larger crop there. There were only some brief moments of borderline dryness that would have been threatening to the production potential there in the northeast corner of the country, and most east central areas really did very well. And in fact, from a rapeseed and winter wheat perspective, China is sitting on a gold mine right now. I think the huge winter crop is going to come out of that country if conditions are even close to normal in the spring.
Now turn your attention to South America. Tell me about the crops there.
Well, it's that time of the year. Things are getting a little more interesting down there. Dryness is becoming more of an issue for Argentina and southern Brazil. Both their topsoils have really firmed a lot here in the last week. And it looks like the forecast is offering only restricted amounts of rainfall for Argentina in particular over the next 10 days. Net drying will dominate probably 80% of the country, and the topsoil is already firming up in some locations. So a little stress possible a week from now in Argentina. The one thing that's lacking is excessive heat. And then for Brazil, almost all the areas that are dry today will get rain over the next week. The exception will be Rio Grande do Sul, which is likely to see a La Niña-biased dry pattern prevailing for the next week to 10 days. Not absolute dryness, but not enough rain to counter evaporation.
Drew, thank you so much for taking the time with us today.
You bet, and have a great afternoon.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. That wraps up this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.